and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have with us today, as we do every Thursday live, an appropriate professional, Mr. Dennis Prout of Prout Financial Design and Company. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here, Ron. Thank you. On the 14th of October, 10/14. And thank you, Ron, and for you listeners as well for listening. We certainly appreciate your involvement with us in the financial world as it changes by the day. And going back to the date here, it's just incredible what's happening with our temperature weather situation, isn't it? Let's talk about, and can we say Indian summer still? Whoa.
A lot of calls today. Mayflies still being spotted here in October, and a lot of weird mushroom formations.
Oh, yes. I heard you and Colleen talking about that on the way in. Crazy.
A lot of acorns. I don't know what it means.
There are a lot of acorns.
There are a lot of nuts out there.
On the bottom of Long Lake, I was out there with my putting away the boats in the dock,
yes.
And it's just covered with acorns. I've never seen so many on the bottom of the lake.
I think that means we're supposed to get like 40 feet of snow or something this summer, or this winter, rather. Yeah, 40 feet of snow, that's a lot.
40 feet.
Yeah. Well, joining us today, as you've heard, is Heidi Thompson.
Good morning,
Heidi.
Great to have you
with us. Retirement Income Certified Professional and the Managing Executive there at Prout. And we have a guest with us this morning, CPA John Sluice. Welcome, John.
Thank you for having us.
Yay.
In Trust CPAs, they're on Hannah Avenue, kind of kitty corner to the library.
Correct, right over there.
Yes. So it's great to have him with us. And we had a call last week before we dive into our program. And by the way, honestly, I think I can speak for Heidi as well. We met with John beforehand, and a lot of our preconceived notions were swept aside. So I'm hopeful that this program will find it very valuable today. We're going to be talking in depth about taxes. But we had a question last week, John. A gentleman who called in who said that he had not yet paid his estimates for this year, wondered about paying them by October 15th and if he would still be assessed a penalty if he had waited until the third quarter.
The answer is yes. The answer is generally yes. So the first question is whether or not you need to make estimates. So you have to be safe harbored is what it's called. So the IRS and the state of Michigan or other states are going to want you to pay in during the year what you owe. So if you're a wage earner and you're getting a paycheck, they withhold your taxes every single paycheck. If you're self-employed or you have other income coming in not through a wage, you have to make estimates. And you have to make those during the year. The way to think of this is if you don't, the IRS or the states are giving you a loan. And so in this case here, it's October 15th. You are required to have made payments on April, June, September, and then the fourth one's in January of next year. If you miss those, it's not the end of the world, but what you're doing is you're getting a loan from the government. And so they're going to charge you an interest rate and a penalty rate. There are ways to avoid it, and I'll mention some of these. But at the end of the day, you're taking a loan. That's how you got to look at it. You were supposed to pay it in during the year, and you didn't. The government can't lend to you at any rate above the AFR or the interbank rate, right? So when they're giving you an interest rate, it's there. The penalty is designed to make it more market rate loan. Mm-hmm. So in the end, your failure to pay or your interest rate for not paying in during the year is like-ish a 6 to a 7% loan. That's the way to look at it. Now, to answer that specific question, it's October 15th. Yes, you missed it. You've missed the June, or you missed the April, the June, and the September payment. Now, there's a couple tricks you can do. Well, the first one is just pay it now, right? Because if you start paying now, you're going to be better off than if you were to wait until the January 15th one. Because
well, they can still make their estimate up to 10-15. 9-15, or rather 10-15, correct?
10-15 has nothing to do with the estimate. And so it's the first three payments are passed. So the first payment is April 15th.
Right.
The second payment is June 15th. The third payment is September 15th. And then the fourth payment is January 15th of the following
January
year.
January 15th.
And so... Yeah, those first three, yes, those are passed. But if you start paying today, you're going to minimize the day, because they do it by day, that you're going to overpay.
So you're minimizing that interest or penalty and interest cost of 6 or 7%.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, there is a strategy here, and this is actually on one of my to-do lists, you know, so on the we were advertising here on the to-do list to do before the end of the year. If you do have a wage, a workaround that you can do is you can adjust your withholding. And you can put it in through that way. So instead of paying estimates, you can go through withholding, so wage withholding. And the IRS in the state of Michigan and other states will treat that wage withholding as being paid evenly during the year. So it's a little back-end trick that you can do. So for there, talk to whoever your HR or otherwise. So
shows you how disconnected I am to estimates now.
If you don't have your, if you're not paying with the income tax withdrawn from your paycheck as an employee, you're earning your own money. Mm-hmm. Is it any amount? Like if you're making $10,000 a year on your own business, you still have to pay those quarterly estimates?
It's based on your prior year tax prior year tax, not necessarily your refund or what you owed at the end of the year. It's on your total tax. Okay. So let's say that your total tax last year was $1,000. This year, you're required during the year to pay $1,000. You have to pay in what you paid last year.
100% of the previous year's or?
The minimum or 90% of the current year.
90% of current.
Or if you make over a certain amount, and I'm just going to round for conservative purposes, $100,000, but then you have to pay 110% in. So that's called safe harbor.
Great. Thank you. Now, let's move on. We have a ton of stuff to cover, and we want to talk first about knowing your rate and making a plan.
Yeah, so I think we all hear the media, we all see what's going on, the number of new tax proposals that are out there, whether you're talking about the Build Back Better Act, if you're talking about the various different proposals that are out there. And I don't care what media source you're getting your information from, they're coming at you're getting a bias, you're getting information. What I would tell you is hear the general information, know the general information that's out there. You got to hear that. But then you need to take it to your personal level. That's what you got to do. And we'll get to why. But so the two takeaways that I have here from this show, the first one is to know your rate. Know where you are, because where you are may be different than what you're hearing in the media, regardless of what source it is, that you might be different. And so know your case.
So there's a lot of noise going on there about inflation. I mean, we talk about this continually. Inflation is not transitory. We have a lot of inflationary pressures, which is in essence a tax. But when we're just talking about the tax brackets this year, there's a lot of misinformation.
There's a lot of information. We'll put it that way. Whether it's miss or regular, so there's a lot of information.
There's a lot of heated political talk going on about this.
Right.
So knowing your rate, now what would be a surprise to a lot of people about 21 versus 22 in their rates?
So one surprise would be here's an example. I'm going to average. If you make less than $400,000 under all of the current plans, including this, I will say it horribly, Build Back Better Act by Biden that's out there. Even under that worst case scenario, if you make less than $400,000, there's a good chance you're going to have a tax decrease.
The worst case scenario if it's a $3.5 trillion plan.
Correct.
Okay. So given that they increase taxes to that rate and it passes, in essence as it's currently written, for anyone making less than $400,000, your brackets aren't going to change.
From an income point of view.
From an income tax point of view.
Yeah. And there's so many other arms and fingers and everything that goes into this thing. So whether it's in your estate plan, your capital gains plan, your corporate rate, all these different things that they could all apply. And we're going to talk about a lot of these. You're going to hear the media talk a lot of them, and you're going to have new or information sources that you may read about that are going to talk about the likely increases that are out there. But as you bring it back to your particular case, you may find that from what you can change from an income tax point of view may actually go down.
So the corporation that's selling you a vehicle, their tax bracket may indeed go up as a corporation, but you individually, that's what we're talking about now, it most likely is going to remain the same, given our listening audience, most are at below 400,000.
Correct. And that's where they're going. And so, again, don't hear me, I'm the accountant in the room, that's saying don't hear that there's a good chance that tax rates are going to go up. They likely will.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is don't go make rash decisions, because I'm seeing this happen is people hear things and they say, well, the capital gains rates are going up. They sell a whole bunch of assets, or they make a bunch of changes for whatever reason. And then we say, okay, that's great. Now let's look at your case. And then I shake my head and I said, well, you actually probably would have had a decrease. So that wasn't the right answer. So again, know your rate, know yours, not what other people are saying.
So for some, making a Roth conversion could make sense yet this year. But it also could make sense next year as well.
Correct.
Given that the changes may not be significant for several individuals.
Yeah, you make a perfect good
for
example
several
here.
Tax bracket.
Yep, so let's look at
tax brackets, period. Yes.
One of the most likely increases, and I said increases here that are in here, that are both in the Biden plan as well as some of the ones that are more scaled back, probably the first one that's out there that people are going to tell you is probably going to pass is an increase in the highest tax bracket for ordinary income. So from the 37% to the 39.6%.
Yeah, for basically 37 to 40%.
Yeah, that's a good way to hear it. Yep.
Yeah.
So now if we do a Roth conversion this year, you're taxed at the 37 if you're in those brackets. Whereas if you wait till next year, you're in a higher bracket. So by waiting one day from December 31st to January 1st, you could have saved 3% because it's more beneficial to do next year, assuming this plan goes in place, versus not. And note, we're talking about preliminary information. We're talking about tentative things, and we're talking about higher brackets. But there's the case of where I want you to hear is know your rate, because what you may want to do might be different than the general. And I haven't seen it so far apart than I have of recent under this case.
So far apart between, if you will, what people are thinking and what the actual actuality is.
Correct.
The actual situation.
Another good example is what accountants will call push-pull of income or expenses. So what does that mean? What that means is the typical sage-old tax advice is to go buy some equipment before the end of the year or to maybe withhold.
Increase your expenses now to increase your deductions.
Correct. But now if you make less than $400,000, you may want to wait to do it. Or if you make more than $400,000, you may want to wait until next year because that deduction is worth more potentially worth more next year than it is this year.
Because your tax rate is higher.
Could be higher. Yep. Yeah. Versus if you're below 400, well, then maybe we want to do those expenses this year.
So the preconceived notion that you got to advance expenses this year in order to increase your deductions because you want to take advantage of 2021 may not make sense for some.
For some, yeah. And there's, again, so what you hear me say again, we're talking about a lot of things, and we're going to give generic information. And generally, that's the definition of generic, generally it's the case.
Yeah.
But you have to know your particular case and make a plan. That's my second one, is make a plan for you and stick to it.
So don't listen to the news or what the news is saying about taxes. Obviously, they're approaching this from a political, informational, pitched sort of, you know, it's a pitch battle out there. We get it. Looking at the actual situation, it may be much clearer for those individuals who are concerned about paying extra or more tax in 22.
So here, I'll give another example with when making a plan is I'm talking to a business owner. The business owner is going to make $1 million, let's say, this year. And we say, okay, you know what? Tax rates are going to go up. We're going to make the conclusion that we feel as individuals that the tax rates are likely to go up. Whatever plan it is, we feel that tax rates are going to go up. So we make a plan and say, well, we're going to defer some of these expenses until next year when they're worth more. So we make that plan. We go with it. And then the next question out of their minds is, well, I'm going to go buy some equipment. I'm like, no, that doesn't work because it goes contrary to everything we just said. Because you have age-old advice that's typical out there.
That's been around for years, right. Decades.
Yep. And so it might put that on, flip that on the head, where this year, given that particular person circumstance, it would make more sense to wait until next year to buy that piece of equipment than this year.
Ed Slott, and I had mentioned this, talked about the folks who are going to be doing workarounds are those who are making over $400,000. And this is a great example, working around the increased tax. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, perhaps even paying less in 22, given the adjustments that they might be able to make.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited because I look at this, and I will say, just horribly large amount of tax increases that are proposed in this $3.5 trillion increase, and I shake my head. But within it is wrought with the opportunity to save taxes. And so I get excited, and I'm smiling here, and they're laughing at me because I look at this, and here's a plan that's going to raise taxes $3.5 trillion. And for many of my clients, I'm going to find decreases in it.
Well, so the revenue that the government is anticipating is going to fall flat on its face, given what you're telling us.
From an income tax point of view.
From an income tax point of view.
That's
the revenue expected by the government through income taxes. Guess what? Everybody's going to be doing, who are in those income brackets, are going to be doing workarounds.
Correct.
Workarounds.
Who's really going to pay taxes are those that don't plan. Those that just have a default future that says, I'm just going to wait and do it, they're the ones that are going to pay more in taxes. If you plan and you think about it, you're going to pay less taxes.
And in this case, thinking about it differently for 21 versus 22 than what you previously had done can be a key factor in success. So thank you, John, for joining us. And as you were talking, I was thinking now, this time of year, is probably one of the better times to sit down with your CPA and or tax advisor, given the changes that we may see.
Yeah, now is when you can change things versus you wait till after the end of the year, you can't change things, they're done.
And obviously you tend to be a bit less busy at this point because you're not filing all those taxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I think people who have those one-time events or they're looking forward, because we see, you know, planning for retirement, I see people coming in and asking me because, you know, I'm in my early 60s, late 50s, and I have this business, and I either want to sell it or I want to pass it on. So coming in to talk about that in the years prior to that triggering event could be really helpful with this changing tax environment.
It's absolutely critical. So not even helpful, critical in the sense that you're doing a multi-year tax plan. So a lot of people think, we're trying to get them to convince to understand to do just a tax plan for 1 year, but doing a multi-year is even better with that, because if you're looking at selling your business or other type things, you're going into retirement and you might find that there's a period where you actually have no income or lower income, we want to actually bump it up. So you're going to make a multi-year tax plan is critical. The example you gave there was selling a business. Well, we just got done saying, well, if you're going to make less than $400,000, you may not feel it. Well, you may find that for a couple years you're not making that, but then you go to sell your business, and now all of a sudden you're going to make $3 million or $5 million or $1 million, and you are going to see that, boom, all of a sudden you're in that higher tax bracket. And wow, that's where you see those increases, the capital gains rates going up, the surcharge rates, the Medicare hits, all those different items that are on there. And you got to make a plan, a tax plan around that.
So what specifically would someone who's selling a $3 million business, let's to get somewhere in between in your example there, is 2022 going to make a significant difference of someone selling that value, type of business, if you will?
It absolutely could. Yes, I've run scenarios where business owners were that they would take a $500,000 hit, and I'm rounding right now,
sure,
by waiting 1 year versus the next. And so they were better off to take lower income of than sales price this year than they were to wait till next year. And it was even further spinning out of numbers when we were proposing having the capital gains at the ordinary rate. That has, in all of these proposals, come down a little bit, but it's still certainly there. So if we're talking of a proposed increase from a capital gains from a 20 to a 25, that makes a big difference. 5% on a $3 million sale is a big difference. Mm-hmm. And so trying to plan for that. And there are strategies that we can use to spread it or to do different things. But yeah, it requires that plan that you're looking at.
Looking at ways to perhaps even out the balances that occur from the sale of that business, mm-hmm. Not taking it all perhaps in 1 year. That sort of thing is what you're alluding to.
Like staggering it maybe over a couple of years.
Correct. Yep, that's one strategy. I would say one thing when as I look at the proposed, recently proposed, whether it's the Build Back Better Act or some of the other ones that are out there, one thing I was happy to see was that they didn't have any mention on retroactive capital gain adjustments. Mm-hmm. So even this one here, which I'm calling the worst case one, there's always the potential for worse, but I'm calling it the worst one for right now, doesn't go back retroactively. It's going forward. So that did make me feel a little bit better.
What about someone who's selling a piece of property? Let's say they made $200,000 on a piece of property with simply a capital gain. And let's say their income is $75,000 to $100,000, a regular taxable income. Are they going to see much of an increase in 22?
Under those scenarios, there would not be an increase on what's proposed.
All right. So it's just applicable for those still over the $400,000 taxable income component of their tax rate or their tax situation.
Ish. So I'm using 400 and I'm saying ish, but that the 400 is, you know, a number in general. So because there is 400 or 450 or 475, there's all different thresholds ish around that period. But a good number to kind of keep in your head is 400,000.
So how does someone take advantage of this or what's happening in 22? Let's say their income is in the $800,000 to $1 million range.
Well, there's one. So again, give the opportunity to find when this is finally established, right? So what we're talking about here is proposed plans. Mm-hmm. But one creative one I look at in here is within the proposed plan, corporate tax rates are going up, sort of. Because they're going down if the corporation makes less than $400,000. So from the 21% down to the 18%. Now they're going up to the 25% for any business that makes more than $400,000. Well, that's a lot of strategy and planning that we can do within a corporation. So where we may have an S corporation this year in 2021, we may look next year and maybe we have someone making $800,000 and boom, we split it. And now you have $400,000 into a C corp and $400,000 into an individual. And now you actually had a tax decrease versus a tax increase. Mm.
So for those individuals who own a business, that's a great example if their income is relatively high where they may be paying less in 22.
They may. And there's again where I'm going to go back to make your plan because I would shudder to even hear anyone that's listening here go say, well, they said to change my corporate or my business from a partnership or an S corp to a C corp because there's so many ramifications that come with that, but it may make sense. So look at your particular individual case and that's one potential highlight of this could be where we're going.
There could be an opportunity.
Yep. It's just a tool out there that you may be able to use, but mm-hmm. you got to check it out first.
Yep. And I'm going to go back to the who's going to pay more in taxes are those that don't make a plan and don't think about it. So
for someone who has regular wage income, we don't see a lot of that here in Traverse City, wage income in the $800,000 to $1 million range, they may not have near the opportunity.
That's where I struggle with those. So who that's going to be is individuals that are working maybe for the Amazon or for the remote. You're getting a wage for a larger corporation, and it might come in the form of restricted stock options that you're making a wage of $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, maybe $1 million. That's probably and that's who they're targeting. That is who is going to be paying more. And we say we don't see a lot of them. They're starting to get more and more out there, especially in Traverse City. And so there are strategies you can do, but it's harder. So
they may have to look at some more advanced planning in terms of deferred compensation plans or that Correct. Sort of thing Correct. To defer the income into the future.
Correct.
Are most small businesses we see, like restaurants, construction companies, dry cleaners, set up as a LLC or some type of corporation?
Again, when I'm going to answer this question, it's general in nature, but the typical one I see is an LLC taxed as an S corporation with a potentially with a partnership-based real estate entity holding company. That's where largely most of them are going to be.
So if you're an owner, what was the pass-through? And does that change? If you personally paid yourself $20,000, but the business profited $100,000,
yep.
How does that tax work?
What you're getting to is the complexities of what we're seeing, because some of it is business, some of it is not, and how the IRS in this case, from a pass-through, they're going to combine those incomes together. But they're different types of income, and so within the proposed plan, what they're trying to do is take away some of those strategies we have. For example, if you make more than $400,000 combined, they're proposing that it's going to bump in and have additional surcharge taxes on top of the above $400,000. Or if you make more than $500,000 combined, they're talking about taking away the QBID, which is the qualified business income deduction, that would phase out. So they're starting to recognize that there are a lot of loopholes out there that they're doing, and they're going to, you know, put these in place. Which then gives me the opportunity to find another dodge and go the other way.
So, find another loophole.
Yeah.
Wow. So while this tax package is complicated, and what we've said is it appears as though the incomes that are most going to be impacted are those over $400,000. Are there any situations where that's not the case, where this hits squarely at the middle class, if you will, those making up to $400,000? What are the changes for those who are in that area? Are there any changes?
There are changes, and they may be in the positive. So what they're talking about doing is extending the child tax credit that's out there right now, which is an increased one. They're talking about extending the earned income credit, and they're talking about extending some of these other ones, which is actually going more towards favorable for that individual versus not.
So for those couples who are thinking of having children, next year may be the time to do that, is what you're saying.
I tell my clients that some of the best tax advice I can give is to get married, have a kid, and then the best one is to die. But I don't generally suggest either any of those. So
it might be a little drastic at the end.
There it is. The reality. So it appears as though there may be some credits against the tax that mm-hmm. could really be helpful to mm-hmm. those who have families.
Anyway. Those that are making more than $400,000 are giving money to those that are making less.
All right. The transfer of wealth continues. Mm-hmm. And so do the things, the areas to avoid it. I think we need to take a break here, don't we, Ron?
We will take a fast break with Prout Financial right. Design's new retirement radio with special guest CPA John Sluice. We'll be right back on WTCM.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM, News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design. And the whole gang, well, almost the whole gang is here. Dennis Prout is in with Heidi Thompson, Shay Pataja, and special guest CPA John Sluice from InTrust in Traverse City. Welcome back, all.
It's great to be here. And Shay's got some stats specifically related to tax, too.
Shay, yeah. Can you hear me over here in the comfy seats?
You bet.
I keep trying to explain to people how wonderful this new studio is. So it's very, very
the Prout Financial Design Studio.
Yes. all right, here's some Shay stats. So 13 years ago, so on Monday, October 13th of 2008, it was the single best trading day for the S&P 500 in the last 71 years, so since 1950. It took place with a gain of 11.58% total return in just one trading day, and that's from BTN Research. Dennis, you have a big grin on your face.
Oh, my gosh. March of that year had been the absolute low of mm-hmm. the market for some time. Isn't it interesting that missing one day, not being part of that game, if you will, 10.6% in one day. Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch. All right. The top.
Excuse me, 11.6.
11 point,
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Rounding.
Rounding. The top 5% of U.S. households own 71% of U.S. equities, while the top 20% of U.S. households own 93% of U.S. equities. And that's from the Survey of Consumer Finances and the Federal Reserve Board. All right, here's another inflation. Inflation as of September 30th, 2021, using the Consumer Price Index. Will be reported Wednesday, so yesterday, October 13th of 2021. The trailing 12 months ending August 31st of 2021, inflation was up 5.3%, a level not seen over the course of a calendar year in 31 years. And that's from the Department of Labor.
And Social Security weighed in, too. Their increase is going to be 5.9%, yeah, I think, sure. Yes, starting in January. For those who are taking Social Security income, that's going to increase by 5.9%.
Nice job with the stats. Okay. Oil prices have gone up 64% year to date. West Texas Intermediate crude has gone from $48.52 a barrel as of December 31st of 2020 to $79.35 a barrel as of last Friday, October 8th of 2021. And it's a little bit of a jump, huh,
Speaking
folks?
Speaking of a change overnight for those in the energy industry, whoa, I mean, talk about a 180 from 1 year ago. Their businesses all of a sudden looking much better in terms of revenue and
Well, I think we've seen it at the
right?
gas stations ourselves.
Not so much enthusiasm at
I was
the gas
say,
pump.
Yeah. Not only did I see it, I felt it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which is also kind of, I wasn't even going to read the stat, but it is kind of interesting following up that 25% of new auto sales in China and the year 2025 are projected to be electric vehicles. So that's from Bloomberg. The total household net worth in America is up 47% in the last 4 years and is up 89% in the last 8 years. The total U.S. Well, I won't go into the details, but that's from the Federal Reserve. Well, just a reminder that they're just normal people. President Joe Biden and his wife are worth an estimated $8 million, including their ownership of two homes in Delaware, and Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband are worth an estimated $7 million, and that's from Wealth Advisor. Also, just a reminder, the HIPAA privacy rule was enacted in 1996, or 25 years ago. HIPAA does not prohibit a business from asking an employee if they have received a COVID-19 vaccine, but it does regulate how and when a business may use or disclose the information about an employee's vaccination status. And that's from the Department of Human and Health Services. House lawmakers introduced legislation on June 1st of 2021, improving Medicare Coverage Act, that would lower the age of eligibility for Medicare from 65 to 60. The change would expand Medicare to an estimated 23 million American seniors currently not eligible. Medicare provides health insurance coverage today for 54.1 million Americans age 65 and older. And that is from HR number 5165. All right, one more here. The Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation has taken over an average of 5.5 failed private pension plans each month over the last 5 fiscal years, so 2016 to 2020, a grand total of 336 failed plans. In fiscal year 2020 alone, 69 plans that provide pension benefits to 57,000 current and future retirees were bailed out. And the source for that is PBGC.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people got their benefits cut significantly as a result of that takeover, because there is a minimum guarantee by the PBGC of those plans. And many times that minimum is much less than what people had anticipated as an income from their defined benefit plan.
Do you know offhand, is that fund funded by the companies or taxpayers or a combination?
Oh, it's taxpayer. Oh. Taxpayer expense. PBGC. Oh, nice. You bet. Okay. Yep.
So is that good on the Shea stats?
It is great. Thank you, Shea. Appreciate it.
Well, there's so many today, I didn't know where to start, because it was kind of like the 360 view of how things are affecting everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
huge changes.
It's almost like you need to have a retirement planner, a CPA, a
almost
great radio
like
station to tune into to stay current.
Honestly, TCM is a great way to stay connected. Absolutely. You bet. All right. Thanks, Shay. So John, we've got about five things we want to talk about. What to do? What to do about this? So hit those if you would.
Yeah, so these are some of the, you asked to do some things, to do's before the end of the year. So these are items to do that by December 31st. So a lot of people say, hey, I'll wait till after the end of the year to deal with it. You can't on many of these items.
Hey, you may get more value planning taxes and looking at your taxes this year than you have in some time.
Correct. And so, again, I'm going to go back to the beginning comment of make a plan, because some of the things I'm going to say here, just because you can doesn't mean you should, but maybe you do. So what I'm kind of contradicting myself when I'm saying this is that you ought to look at it and decide whether it makes sense or not to do, but the following to-dos are things that you at least have to decide of whether you're going to do it or not.
All right.
One of which is for those of you that took the COVID retirement draw and elected the 3-year spread over that, you have the option to give it back, or if you want.
And so put it back into
your retirement account.
With no penalty having been incurred then.
Correct.
And or tax.
Correct, tax. And it's as if it's almost undoing what you drew. So they allowed you to do it with the hope of pushing it back in. The spread
up to $100,000.
Correct. You're spreading out over the 3 years, so you can this year, if you want, you can put it all back. But specifically, you'd want to do at least a third if you can to put it back in. So, and that's something that has to happen by the end of the year. If you're going to do a Roth conversion, has to happen by the end of the year. So make sure you think about that one.
And I'll just say, do not wait until like December 20th to make that decision. The custodians out there have already warned us that if the request comes in too late, they have such a volume that they can't guarantee that that will be processed by the end of the year.
Guess what? They're short-staffed, like everyone else. We're not serving lunch here Monday and Tuesdays, and the custodians are overwhelmed as well. In fact, I'm telling clients, we really need to have these Roth conversions in by mid-November, end of November at the latest, for us to get these done.
Right.
Okay? Yeah.
If you have not taken your RMD or have not made a QCD, or so a required minimum distribution, and then related a qualified charitable donation, those all have to be made before the end of the year.
And those are key. You can offset an RMD with a QCD. Mm-hmm. Think about that. The income that you are taking as your RMD, you can use a portion of that and give it direct to the charity. Then it's not taxable income. So to the extent that you wanted to make that up with a Roth conversion because your tax, you want to keep the tax the same as it otherwise would have been, you can also do a Roth conversion. So there are some rules and regulations you have to follow with that, but keep that in mind. The qualified charitable distribution good for anyone over age 70 and a half. You may want to take advantage of it this year or next, depending on where you see your tax brackets going, right?
There's where I was smiling, because it's mind blown, as you may be better off waiting to do it next year. So it's again, you got to look at your particular case for these things. So, you're going to want to fund, or if it makes sense, fund your employee-based retirement account. So that's if you're an employee and you have a 401k, a 403b, or a simple IRA that goes through your wages, you have to do that before the end of the year. So that's something you're going to want to do.
Okay.
Capital gain or loss harvesting. So talk to your financial advisor out there. If they say, hey, you've got some carryover losses that you want to use, do that. Or if they say, hey, you know what, you're going to be in the bracket where capital gains are going to go up next year, maybe want to recognize some of those things. Maybe some of the stock market's up and your stocks are up, and you may say, hey, let's take some of this, shift it around, and while we don't like making the paying taxes, 20 or if we're in the 15 or the 20% bracket, could be less than the 25% bracket.
Now, don't many clients forget about those capital losses they've had in the past, and they simply carried forward? I don't know, the accountant gives us, what is it, $3,000 per year?
Yep, $3,000
per year. Per year in capital loss carry forward. But if you have a capital gain, you can then use rather 100% of that capital loss that you've had from previous year.
If you have capital gains. And the biggest strategy you can use there is if your financial advisor is saying, hey, you know what, we're more weighted towards maybe tech or something like that than we like, and they say we want to shift some out of a particular demographic into another one, but you're going to have some taxable implications. We'll have any carry forward can do that. So
great.
Here's one, again, we talked about it a little earlier, but that, you know, trying to decide whether you're going to defer collections or have purchases before the end of the year, buy the equipment. I'm jumping up and down as an accountant saying, if you're going to want to buy a piece of equipment, There's backlogs. We might have heard out there that there's a congestion in the shipping industry. So a lot of that things come with large items that you may want to purchase. So if you're typically used to buying that piece of equipment right at the end of the year, make sure you give yourself time to think about that.
So if a business owner anticipates that their income will remain the same or greater next year, obviously then the deduction of having bought that equipment, that's kind of what you're referencing here, mm-hmm. may make more sense next year.
It might be, but it might make more sense this year. But either way, the decision you have to decide is now before the end of the year. And even more so importantly, so this one here I would say is it's not necessarily by December 31st. You need to be thinking about it now if you're going to be ordering a piece of equipment because it may not be around.
Okay.
Let's see. So watch your FSA or dependent care account, so a flexible spending account or your dependent care. Those are a use it or lose it type thing. So if you have money in there, so not an HSA, not a health savings account, because that one can roll over, but an FSA allows you to, or makes it so that you have to use that money by the end of the year and have it pulled out. So, I mean, I think a lot of what we've talked about here is these tax law changes are wide-reaching. There's a lot of them. There's income taxes we've talked about. There's capital gains taxes. But there's also taxes and changes related to trust accounts. There's talking about things that are related into international ramifications. They're all over inside of these plans. They talked about Social Security changes. And then there are many, many areas. And there's so many of them out there that you have to be thinking at a broad range of what you're going to be doing and making that plan beforehand.
Yeah, and I think it just circles right back to what you said at the very beginning. You know, you have to make a tax plan and, know your rate and know what these things are going in to do and how they're going to impact you so that you can be proactive and trying to find the best situation or the best plan forward for yourself.
So the big plan, the Build Back Better, one of those $3.5 trillion plans, has not passed. They're having trouble pushing
Correct.
It over the line. If it does not pass, say this year,
mm-hmm.
is all of this kind of moot, or just applies to next year then?
I think one would argue it's moot, but in the general speaking of things, the government wrote, was it $4.9 trillion check this past year of what they've already did, not to mention the fact that they just raised the spending limit or the debt limit again. So we're spending in excess of what we have is what that means.
Right.
It's going to come back around. So what does that mean? Taxes are going to go up, whether it's this year, next year, it's going to go up. So you need to be making the plan for it. And it's, you know, when we propose different things that, okay, here's if the 3.5 passes, here's if the 1.5 passes, here's if it goes backwards. So you're looking through and it's hard because accountants in general don't like even talking about preliminary things, but unfortunately we're forced to do it.
Yeah.
You brought up, Heidi, you know, the business owner that's
right.
looking to selling. That's a major potential tax ramification. And you can't just decide today that I want to sell my business tomorrow or I want to sell this big piece of property today and do it tomorrow. So you got to be planning for those and thinking about that ahead of time. And it has ramifications, whether it's this year or next year or the following year.
Right, because we want people to be able to keep a lot of it for themselves.
Yeah,
and so through planning, they can do that. Yeah, so
correct.
It's interesting. I think that speaks to both sides of the aisle, doesn't it, John?
It does.
Indeed. Yeah. You bet. So everyone is going to be looking at their own tax brackets, who want to try to plan for the future. And it's going to be, we're going to see a lot of changes going on, obviously with the tax law, but a lot of changes going on with individuals and how they're structuring their own tax situation.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm looking at the news article that I have right in front of me was dated September 29, and I joke that's now, what, 15, 16 days ago? So
I might as well put
in the historical archives because it's so old, right? You know, so things are changing so quickly that it's so important to be thinking about these things.
Right. When something does pass, how long before you get some kind of translation as a CPA so you can apply it?
That's a tough question because some of the things in here, so one of the things we were talking about is the capital gains. There was proposal whether that was retroactively, right? So there was conclusions of, okay, to answer your question there is, well, it's too late. It doesn't matter how long it was already too late. It should have happened beforehand. Mm. They're giving advance warnings to a lot of these information, but it does take a while to roll out. Again, the devil's in the details, too, and when you look in these things. I mean, we've generalized this information here, but I can go through all these items. It takes weeks, months for this to go through. And then you say for the industry to digest it and publish it out, then the accountants have to then read it and feel through it. And then the IRS actually has to update the tax forms. That's ultimately why they extended out the tax deadline these last 2 years. They like to say it was because they're being nice. No, it was selfishly because they couldn't update the tax return forms fast enough to account for it. So they had to extend from April 15th to May 17th because of it. So that's several months.
Could we see an extension in 22?
I sure hope not, but it's possible.
All right. Time.
That'll wrap it up for another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout in with Heidi Thompson. Thank you both.
Thanks, Ron. Sure.
Special guest, John Sluice from Intrust CPA, 935-1590 in Traverse City. Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.